to this evening's Village Board meeting. Will you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening and welcome. We will call our meeting to order. We have everyone present. Roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Genrich.
Here.
Trustee Atwood is excused. President Rafter is here. Trustee Dart is excused. Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Dennis.
Here.
Thank you. Is there a motion to modify or adopt the agenda as presented? Actually, we're going to move item 12 up to 4B, so after public appearances. Are there any other requests to modify the agenda? Is there a motion to approve the agenda as modified? Trustee Green, seconded by Trustee Harris. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements. Are you interested in joining a committee? Who says yes? As I mentioned at our last meeting, after the election in April, we will be appointing some new members to some of our committees and boards.
Yeah.
And is this on the website, the openings? Okay. The openings are on the website, so for your viewing pleasure, you can go to villageofalloway.com and take a look at what openings are on our committee, boards, or commissions. And if you would like to apply for any of those, there's an application online. You can also call Debbie Bainan at the Village Hall with any questions. Next, don't forget, we're having a meeting tonight because April 4th is election night, and so there will not be a Village Board meeting on April 4th, and we have absentee voting available until
Friday?
This Friday. Don't forget to vote. We are going to be electing our State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Justice for the Supreme Court, 3 Alloway Village Trustees, 1 Village Judge, our School District Representatives, School Board Members, a referendum on school spending, all very important things, so please don't forget to vote. On Saturday, April 1st, and Sunday, April 2nd, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., there is going to be a book sale at the Alloway Community Center, which is at 2143 South Webster, and that is being hosted by our historical Alloway Society. All the funds go to help support the efforts of our local society. Correct, Judy?
Correct.
And that looks like it. Any other? Mr. Lang.
Just want to direct your attention to the back of the room. We've had a watercolor coloring class for adults for many years, and in working with them, they had asked if they would display some of their talents. So we'll be hanging different paintings with a little description of who painted it, and hopefully get some more interested individuals to join our painting class, which is held on Wednesdays at the community center.
Are those for sale?
That I don't know for certain.
Okay. Cool. Very nice. You walk in and you see. That's very nice. Thank you for doing that. Okay. Number 4. Or any other announcements?
Mr. President, one sad note. That is that Mary Lou Barman, who was a longtime member of our community, a member of the Alloway Village Band for many, many years, passed away yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we send our condolences to her husband, Phil, and to her children as well. And she will be greatly missed by the church.
Thank you for mentioning that. Okay. Item number 4, public appearances. Is there anyone who would like to speak this evening on something that is not on this evening's agenda? Judy.
Judy Pope, 2375 Riverside Drive. Just one correction on the book sale.
Okay.
On Sunday, since there is no other activity going on, we will be opening, I believe it's at 9 a.m. I asked Chris if he would post it as 9:30. I know Rita said 11,
okay.
But it's 11 o'clock on Saturday, and it's earlier on Sunday.
Okay.
So please come, all of you sitting in the audience, and bring your wallets. We are very reasonably priced book peddlers for this coming weekend. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on anything regarding that's not on the agenda this evening? Is there anyone else, before I close this section, is there anyone who is interested in speaking on any of the other agenda topics when we get to them? And what item is that?
The rezoning of the Vernon Prospect.
Okay.
With regards to cerebral palsy.
Okay. Anyone else? Pardon me? Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, we'll open the floor. We'll ask for a motion at that time to open the floor for comments. Thank you. We will move on to item 4B, the old number 12, action regarding resolution 2017-08, providing for the sale of $3.115 million in general obligation promissory notes, series 2017A, for borrowing.
We have a borrowing coming off our 2017 street and other projects, and here to go over that is Craig Johnson, our municipal advisor.
Great, thank you. Hello, Greg.
Good evening, Hello. President, trustee members. Do you all have a copy of the pre-sale report that goes over the financing? And if not, I have some extra copies.
It was in the mailbox.
Oh, it was in the mailbox. I didn't get there.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's it.
I sent
the
email and I put a hard copy in your mailbox.
Awesome.
But you already got it.
Good evening. I'm going to go through the pre-sale report that summarizes the projects that are being included in the proposed promissory notes and then walk through the financial impacts of the financing plan that's being considered this evening. In the pre-sale report, I'll first direct your attention to page 5. The page numbers are located in the right-hand corner, and we'll walk through the financial analysis that we put together for the financing plan. What is shown on page 5 is a summary of the village's existing general obligation debt outstanding before we look at the impact of the proposed 2017 notes. On the far left-hand side, under the column Total Annual Principal and Interest Payment, that summarizes the total principal and interest payments from 2017 through 2034 for your existing general obligation debt outstanding. The other numbers that we show in red under the columns for sewer, water, and storm sewer reflect the revenues that you budget from each of those utilities to help pay for some of that existing general obligation debt service. So using 2017 as an example, your total principal and interest payments were $2,177,514. About $381,000 of that was paid by sewer, $330,000 paid by water, and about $301,000 paid by stormwater. So your total levy for debt service was $1,170,876. And then going forward in that net tax levy for debt column shows what your existing debt service levy will be based on your existing debt profile. So this just kind of shows the impact of where you stand today. So when we look at how this proposed note issue changes these numbers, you can kind of see where you're starting from based on your existing debt profile. The next page on page 6 is a spreadsheet that we received from staff that breaks down all of the project costs that are included in the proposed note issue. You'll see that they are broken down into several categories: streets, parks, sanitary sewer, water, and storm sewer. The anticipated impact of this financing plan is to have the streets and the parks portion paid through your debt service levy, and have the portion of the debt attributable to the sanitary sewer, water, and storm sewer paid by each of those respective utilities, just like some of your existing debt is outstanding. So we've taken these project costs, while they're all being financed through the issuance of one note, we've allocated the debt service by purpose and by funding source, so we could identify the impact on each of these revenue sources to pay the debt. So in total, you're looking at approximately $3,037,000 in project costs. On page 7 is the sources and uses for the proposed note issue. So we've carried forward from the previous page all of the project costs that were summarized in detail. Then we factored in the finance and transactional expenses for issuing securities in the securities market. So the total issue size is estimated at $3,115,000. One item I'd like to mention with notes, and we discussed this with staff, is when you issue notes under state statute and you're financing multiple projects as you are here, you have flexibility on how you can spend those proceeds. So while we've identified a specific amount for street improvements, if the street improvements come in less for some reason, you can allocate that money to some other project. So you do have flexibility, but we've allocated the cost based on the cost detail that was provided. On page 8 is just a breakdown of the debt service then by purpose and by revenue source. So we have the streets and parks portion, which is paid by the levy, sanitary sewer, water, and storm sewer, will be paid by those revenue sources. And then we have the total principal and interest payment summarized on the far right-hand side. Then the next several spreadsheets kind of break down each of the funding sources to see how that will, this issue will be impacted when we take into account this issue and your existing debt. So on page 9, looks at the levy impact. So on the far left-hand side is all the information from that first spreadsheet that I summarized of all of your existing debt and your projected levy for debt service on your existing debt profile. Then on the right-hand side of the spreadsheet, we show the proposed GO notes, the $3,115,000. And then we show the revenues from the utilities that will be used to pay for their share of the debt service. So your levy in 2018 is projected to be about $1,243,000 for debt service. We structured the debt to really try to take into account your existing debt profile. So the principal payments are loaded a little more towards the back end of the final 3 years of the note issue when some of your existing debt matures. So you're still paying off some principal, certainly over the life of the issue within the 10-year term of the notes, but we structured all the debt around your existing debt to kind of layer in that impact on each of the revenue sources. On page 10 is a summary of the sewer utility debt. So you'll see on the far left-hand side all the existing debt that's paid by the sewer utility, and then the debt service for estimated debt service for these notes, and then the total payments. We've done a coverage calculation. We generally like to see that ratio at least 1.0 or higher for all debt, so we want to make sure your existing revenue streams are sufficient to cover the debt. The same analysis for the water utility can be found on page 11. Here you have existing general obligation debt that's being paid, and then you also have revenue debt outstanding, which pledged water revenue to pay the debt service and those bonds. So we've shown the total debt service payments going forward, and then the coverage ratio both for all debt and then the revenue debt for the water utility. And then finally, we've shown the same analysis on page 12 for the stormwater utility, the impact on that particular utility as well with the existing debt and the proposed debt service. We worked with staff and we were kind of evaluating different structure options. We looked at some longer-term debt, looked at a 10-year option to kind of keep your interest costs down, and we kind of settled on a 10-year note for all of the projects, but structured around your existing debt to kind of make that impact a little more manageable. The final spreadsheet is your general obligation borrowing capacity. Under the Wisconsin Constitution, Wisconsin municipalities can't have general obligation principal outstanding for debt that exceeds 5% of your total equalized value. So projecting where you would be by the end of this fiscal year, including the proposed note issue, you would be about 46% of your limit, or you'd have about $24.9 million of borrowing capacity remaining. So you certainly have adequate capacity for future capital needs in your capital improvement plan. So the action that's before you this evening is really the first step in this process. It's a resolution to authorize the issuance of the debt. From there, we will go through the debt issuance process. The village has historically been rated by Moody's. We'll conduct a rating call. And then the bond sale is scheduled to occur on May 2nd, the date of a regular village board meeting. I'll be present that evening to present the actual final results for your consideration at that meeting. And then the estimated close date, the date the village would get the funds in their bank account, is May 25th. So it's kind of an overview of where you're at this evening and the steps going forward if you choose to proceed. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions on the financing plan.
Thank you, Greg. Any questions?
So the residual $24,957,752 is after having met and made our general obligation bond. That's the remaining residual after.
That is correct.
Trustee Harris.
And then that was just on the last slide. Mm-hmm. The projected equalized value, is that just a standard 1% increase annually?
Correct.
That's just what you use as a boilerplate?
Yes, kind of to try to be conservative, realizing there'll be fluctuations and variances from that number, but trying not to be overly aggressive with what we're projecting.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here tonight. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genrich.
I would move that we approve Resolution 2017-08, providing for the sale of $3,115,000 general obligation promissory note series 2017A for borrowing.
Trustee Dennis seconds. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. Thanks for all your hard work. Agenda item number 5, public hearing to consider request to rezone 1253 South Irwin Avenue from A residential to commercial. Who wants to tell us about this? Trevor?
I'll step up here.
Thank you. Oh, this is a public hearing, right? Okay, you can.
I don't know if you want me to go before the
public hearing. Yeah, why don't you? Give us an overview.
You seem to forgot to put the aerial on here, but I'm pretty sure everyone is aware of where this is located. This is located on the corner of McCormick and Irwin. There's an existing commercial building. It's sat vacant for a number of years because it is zoned A residential. And the petitioner is petitioning on behalf of the landowner. She intends to lease the building and open a coffee shop. It will be open, I believe, 5 to 6 days a week. In the mornings through 3 o'clock, I believe is what she said. So, yes, both property owner and the petitioner are present to answer any questions.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, we'll open up the public hearing. Is there anyone this evening who would like to speak on this item? Thank you for coming back.
My name is Kristen Martin, and I live at 1245 South Irwin Avenue, which is the house right next to the building on Irwin, right on that corner. And I have to say, I had a lot more cons until tonight when I walked in and found out who the coffee shop was really going to be run by. And all of those have been put away, I have to say. My biggest concern at this point is when I first moved in about 12 years ago, it was my understanding that was Austin's before, and it was a four-way stop right there. And there are a lot of children in there, and that got changed to a two-way stop. And now people come zooming down that road because they know they don't have to stop. Instead of coming down Grignan, they come down McCormick. And we always call that the McCormick obstacle course because with the traffic, it's like insane going down there. So if you're going to do this, I would just like you to maybe keep in mind doing something about the traffic because this is going to bring more people. A big con for me is I can go next door and get a cup of coffee. I'm not really worried about that. But my concern is, and also being next door, you know, the people next to me don't have a fence and have pit bulls. You know, this is going to bring in kids. This is going to bring in people. So I'm just, you know, there's some weird cosmetic things that I think that you have to think about. I don't have a problem with you zoning it. I couldn't figure out why that was even a residential when I first heard about this. I always thought it was a commercial lot. That doesn't bother me. But if you could do something about maybe traffic control, also where the lot ends on McCormick, where my back property meets the neighbor because it's like long and then mine hits it, when that McCormick got redone, nobody put like a little drain in, so because it's lower on that end than the other people, get a lot of water in my yard. So there was nowhere for it to drain once the new McCormick Street went in. So if someone could do something about that. I got rid of the trees. I'm continuing to clear out the rubbish because the guy took the money and left. That's this summer's project. But if someone could do maybe something about the water drainage, and that stop sign is really a huge thing with all those little kids that are there. That's my biggest concern. But as far as the person running it and what you want to do with it, I say go for it.
Thank you very much, Kristen. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this item from the public? Last time, is there anyone else who would like to speak on this item? Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and move on to item number 6, adoption of ordinance 2017-03. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to adopt.
Do I have a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion?
Is the developer here? Or the?
I was just going to ask. Do I have a motion to suspend the rules to invite the?
I would make that motion.
Okay. Do I have a second? Trustee Green. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Would you like to come up and introduce yourself?
Sure.
You can both come if you'd like. Yeah, he can come. Your spokesman can come too.
My name is Sarah Farnsworth. I live at 1208 South Baird. This is my son, RJ. And this is
Don. Hi, RJ.
He's the owner of the property.
And I live at 3341 Weigel.
Okay. So we're all in the neighborhood. Welcome, everybody. I'm hoping as long as we can get everything approved and all the things Trevor and everyone else here needs done. We're hoping to have a little coffee shop right in that little corner spot open. I'm looking at Tuesday through Sunday, like 7 to 3, sometimes a little later during summertime.
I'm sorry, could you just address us and speak
to the mic? Hoping to be open 7 to 3 a little bit later in summer when more people are out and about walking. Looking forward to becoming part of the community that I live right there. I see what goes through there. I want people who, you know, all the families that are out walking and people with their pets. I want to have, you know, areas, you know, water dishes for pets so they can sit outside and visit while they're out and about. And looking to add to the community more than anything and have something for my own kids to come and eat and have coffee on the weekends, put them to work. And I knew she'd be a fan when she met me. She's a regular of mine where I work now.
Are you in that business now?
I've been in and out of food service my whole life. My family owned a restaurant growing up. I've been waitressing the lad since he was born. He has health problems, so I stopped nursing and went back to waitressing. So I had flexible hours for him. And, yes, I'm currently in the waitress field. I've tired of working nights with having little ones, so that's why I'm ready to do something for myself, and that'll benefit my family as well, where I can be a mom to them in the evenings and be a part of their life.
Great.
Does anyone have questions that I can answer?
Any questions?
So you'll continue to, or you will rent the property from Don?
To start out with, and we'll see how it goes. Okay. He's willing to sign it over to me to buy if I am doing well and want to stay there. So yes.
Okay. Any other questions?
Are
comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do I have a motion on this item? Or we have to pick up the rules. I'll motion to pick up the rules. Seconded by Trustee Harris. All in favor?
Yep.
Me.
I'm sorry.
Seconded by Trustee Harris. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
We have a motion.
Oh, we already have one.
We do have a motion.
I just have a comment.
Okay.
Craig, can you make sure we get traffic on McCormick on an agenda for public works since we took over traffic and safety? Because I do remember when we took out that stop sign, we had a request, but we didn't have as much traffic as this may generate for you. So we'll take a look at that.
Thank you.
That is only 6 blocks south of the school as well.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the name of the coffee shop going to be?
Zip Cafe.
Zip Cafe?
Sip.
Sip. Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion passes. When does Sip open?
Mr. President?
We couldn't get very far in our planning until we knew what was going to happen here.
Okay.
But I will keep you updated as soon as I have more definite outline now that we have
Please do. Thank you very much, Trustee Dennis.
I just wondered if we could take a look at that water cooling situation in the on the curb there at the boulevard.
Mr. Barrett would be happy to do that. Moving on to agenda item number 7, public hearing to consider amendments to sections 475-3, definitions and word usage, 475-24, design standards, and 475-32, parking space requirements of the zoning code from March 7th. Do I have a motion on this? Or it's not a motion. We'll open to the public hearing. Is there anyone who would like to speak on this item from the public? Sir, did you want to speak?
Not necessarily on this point.
Okay. Okay. Is there anyone who would like to speak on this item? Last time, is there anyone who would like to speak on this item? Hearing none, we will close the public hearing. And we will move on to item number 8. Action regarding adoption of Ordinance 2017-04. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Green.
Move to adopt.
I have a second.
Second.
Seconded by Trustee Harris. Any discussion? Trustee Harris.
I've got one wording question that Trevor and I discussed very briefly right before the meeting. In terms of an existing development site, I don't know if we have a clear definition of what an existing development site is, and don't know if that can be an issue if it gets misinterpreted. If we're allowing ourselves to approve a different dimensions for the parking lots, what circumstances fall into an existing development site? I didn't know how to answer it myself, so I didn't know if maybe some of the other board members did, or if we need to change the language slightly.
The village board may approve smaller stall dimensions on an existing development site per recommendation by the plan commission, not to be less than state or federal standards for stall size.
Now, does existing mean the building's already existing and we're remodeling? Or does it mean a plan site that exists?
You have a parking lot, it's a lined parking lot, it's not, that's where I didn't know if it was just too nebulous to give us a good guidance going forward.
Would you like to recommend alternate wording? To
I was trying to come up with something and hadn't. That's why I just...
I think you have to delineate the language there because you're joining together two different things, existing and developing, so it has to be something along the lines of the village board may approve stall dimensions on an existing and or future development site.
Or how about existing developed site? One that has been developed.
Yeah. Or existing site that's being remodeled.
Well, basically it's an existing site.
Right. Well, it's
but
an existing
then it
building.
Has been developed.
The site's always existing, though. I think that's where the nebulous part comes in. A plot of green grass is existing.
And that's why it's
developing.
Right, and that's why we would add developed. So it's a green site
past
is not
tense.
Developed. Yes. Past tense as opposed to active.
Trevor, did you have any suggestions? Or maybe...
Maybe our village attorney does.
Well, I mean, one thing is do you want to limit yourself to existing developed sites? Maybe you have a vacant parcel and somebody comes in with a wonderful development concept but needs smaller, you know, parking stalls. So maybe what you could do is stall dimensions on an existing developed site or proposed development. And that way, if it's already pre-existing, then you can approve smaller sizes. If it's vacant land and somebody needs smaller ones, you can approve smaller ones if you want. If the Planning Commission recommends it, then it'll be all right.
Okay, so an existing developed site or a proposed site?
Or a proposed development.
Or a proposed development.
Or get rid of the words altogether and just go to smaller stall dimensions per recommendation by Plan Commission.
You do that too? Do not have any category.
Keep it simple.
We'll use the guidance of the Plan Commission.
Yeah, you can do it that way.
That sounds cleaner to me.
Okay. So would you like to make a substitute motion? Or
yes. So we have an existing motion, correct? So just amended motion
yes.
To a program presented with one change to section 47524. Remove the wording of on an existing development site so that it changes to the village board may approve smaller stall dimensions per recommendation by the Plan Commission, not to be less than state or federal standards for stall size.
And that was yours, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was your motion. You're good with that?
I'm great with that.
And it was your second, right? So you're good with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's good. Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. We'll move on to number 9. Action regarding site plan and design review for Cerebral Palsy Center at 2801 South Webster Avenue. Is there a motion on this item? I will. Trustee Green.
Move to approve.
Do I have a second? Trustee Genrich.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? We have someone who was interested. Do I have a motion to suspend the rules?
So moved.
Trustee Harris, seconded by... Trustee Green, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Folks, would you like to, or why don't we invite, would you like to say something about this?
Hello. Hello. My name is Al Gachowski. I live at 2813 Webinar Court, which is directly east on the court from Cerebral Palsy. Cerebral Palsy has been an excellent neighbor, and having the opportunity to have talked to Trevor and to John Syndergaard, who is here this evening, who is the director of Cerebral Palsy, just a couple of things that we have some concerns about. And because our neighbors are all snowbirds, they didn't have the opportunity to show up for the commission meeting. So the thing that I wanted to get across has to deal with a concern for traffic. If you travel that area on Broadview, at the top of the hill in Webster, getting in and out of that is really terrible, especially at drive times. To try to make a right-hand turn heading north off of Broadview onto Webster can be a real hassle. And now that we're going to be having construction, Trevor had mentioned the possibility, and I'm not sure which municipality would have the opportunity to do anything about it, but to consider some sort of controlled access off of Broadview and Webster. I'm not sure if that's possible, but that would make it much simpler for traffic to get both in and out of that intersection. Also, another concern is at Wabanor Court and Broadview. There is a hill there when the, I think Craig might have known something about this with regards to redoing the road. That had been shaved down a little bit, the hill, but it's still enough so that as you approach from the top of the hill heading east or, you know, west, you have to be very aware of turning onto the court because you can have a vehicle coming up very quickly and a potential accident happening. So I'm not so concerned, am concerned, but I would prefer to see some sort of access, specifically during this construction period, if possible, at the corner of Broadview and Webster to slow that traffic down. It might be difficult because, you know, you're almost right on top of 172 and the traffic lights over there. And what typically happens is that if anybody is going west on 172 to try to turn, that inside lane is always backed up because of the light. More often than not, beyond south of Broadview, and it becomes very difficult to get in and get out. So that was one area that we wanted to address. The other thing is that it might be a good idea in the short term to have restricted parking on the west side of the street from the stop sign on Broadview back north towards the driveway to the parking lot for the dental area, just to keep construction vehicles out for the short term. Other than that, think the project is an excellent addition to the village, and hopefully they'll do well. The other concern is there is going to be a temporary cut to the cul-de-sac for entrance during construction that the employees will use. I just wanted to confirm that that will be a temporary access, and at the end of construction, we were assured that that would be the case, that that would be replaced, and then there would be normal access from Broadview. Any questions?
That's the case, temporary cut?
So you live north of Broadview?
North of Broadview, directly east of the center.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you very much for coming this evening.
Thank you for listening.
We hold these meetings first and third Thursdays of every, or Tuesdays of every month if you'd like to keep coming. I have to throw that in.
Serve on a committee.
Okay. Or serve on a committee.
Hi, my name is Roger Anderson. I live on 212 Orchard Lane, which is just down the hill from Wabanor Court. And my biggest concern is traffic flow and safety of pedestrians around the neighborhood. As Al had previously just stated, the visibility on from Wabanor Court going onto Broadview or on or off of Broadview is very limited. If you don't creep almost past the intersection, it is almost a blind spot. There was a very severe motorcycle car accident several years ago at that intersection. My main concern is if we have a cut going into the cul-de-sac as proposed, is with the increased flow of traffic on Wabanor Court, and knowing the backups that we do get on from getting on Wabanor Court onto Broadview, how much traffic will be being funneled down Orchard Lane? Now, I really don't like the idea of cutting the additional access to the parking lot. I think, if possible, have it continue onto Broadview where it is. I know it's going to be a jam up no matter where you do it. Something should be addressed as far as safety, traffic flow, you know, on Broadview, Wabanor Court, and, you know, and if it does cut into into the cul-de-sac for the parking, trying to restrict the parking or traffic flow down Orchard.
Okay. Any questions for Roger?
If you go down Orchard, the next street is that Penwood that goes out to Broadview?
I live on the house up the hill from me is on Wabanor Court, and I live in the second house down.
Okay. And the only other the next one is egress. Yeah, okay.
The next one is Penwood that connects Broadview. I walk that neighborhood all the time, so I'm real familiar where you're at, and your concerns are very legitimate.
And I think, you know, pedestrian traffic, there's a lot of pedestrian traffic on Broadview, partly because of traffic on Broadview. And if you kick more traffic down Orchard, that's going to cut into their, you know, normal walking pattern of a lot of people. That's my comment for tonight.
Well, very good. Thank you very much, Roger. Thanks for coming. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this matter? Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Sharon Gatowski, 2813 Wabanor Court. My husband talked a few minutes ago when he was talking about access from traffic access from Broadview to Webster. I just wanted to point out that there are stop signs further south where Hoffman abuts Webster, and that works really well down there. So maybe stop signs rather than a stop and go light would be effective. One of the neighbors who couldn't be here tonight lives on the corner of Orchard and Wabanor Court, and she wanted me to mention, and I've experienced it myself, people coming up Orchard think nobody is coming from the north towards 172. They don't look, and they just beel around the corner. We have to practically stop when we're trying to get home just to make sure there's nobody coming. So if we're going to have, I don't know, 150-plus cars every day in and out, maybe a stop sign there temporarily would also help. And my only other comment is I don't know if anybody really checked on CP access using the access road that's already there that goes past Dr. Lynn's dental clinic.
Off of Broadview.
Yeah, right. Rather than cutting into the circle.
Okay. Any questions for Sharon?
So you're thinking of temporary stops in at Orchard and Wabanor Court? Is that right?
Yes.
And then were you also talking about one on Webster?
Yes, Broadview and Webster.
Okay.
There's a stop sign there now, but if there could be other stop signs like on Webster.
A three-way.
Like a three-way there.
A three-way, just like down on Hoffman and Webster. I think that would help a lot. Especially the Medivans have to pull out really slow. The school buses pull out really slow. All the construction vehicles that are going to be there for the two projects going on there for like 6 to 8 months, they're going to be moving really slow. Nobody will ever go anywhere.
Well, and I think your concern is valid whether there's construction going on or not. Because that's that way today as well.
Right. Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Sharon. Sir?
My name is Michael Calhoun. I live at 147 Broadview Drive. I'm right at the corner of Broadview and Wabanar. And some of what my concerns were already mentioned by others, specifically on Orchard Lane and Wabanar. There is no stop sign. I don't know why there's not a stop sign at any point where two cars could possibly collide. But I think maybe not necessarily temporary, but a permanent stop sign would be a good idea there. But specifically, the plan, are they going to have on-street parking or on Orchard or Wabanar Lane? Is that going to be suspended during this construction at all? And secondly, and I don't know if anyone over here knows the answer to that question, but also Broadview and Wabanar is bad. We live right on that corner. I sit on that porch. We go in and out of there all the time. There's kids everywhere. There's school. There's wide traffic. It's just an accident waiting to happen. Roger mentioned that accident a few years ago. It's just, and we have very limited, police presence to conduct, traffic stops and things like that. So, and cars fly up that street. I actually called a few years ago and I had the speedometer thing in the yard because, and I think the officer told me they clocked one person at like 52. It's really bad at Broadview. So that's a main concern with this project, which is a great project. But having them do something about the controlling the speed of the traffic and stop signs or whatnot to slow everybody down, because something's going to happen. And we haven't had anything crazy in a while, but with this project, it's just going to, it's a cause for concern. So that's it. Any questions?
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. Sure.
First of all, I think it is legal parking to in front of the on Broadview, the north side, towards the CP Center. From Wabanar Court to Webster, is that legal parking? Anybody know?
It's on the north side.
On the north side of Broadview, between Wabanar Court and Webster.
I don't know.
I think it is.
Okay.
I've never seen a car parked there.
Okay.
But with the increased traffic there and the limited visual thing, I think that should become a no parking zone. But between there.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
Yeah, I can't picture it.
I can't remember either. I don't recall, like you said.
There's the mailbox that everybody stops and throws their mail in and hops over the car. But I think that it's actually legal parking there.
Okay.
And that's something to be concerned about. My other thought is, rather than maybe make a less traffic flow stop is a warning blind intersection, with flashing light, down a little bit on Broadview before you hit Wabanar Court. That would, if flashing something like that would be, a way to warn people without making them stop,
Okay.
Because that accident happened at like 6 o'clock in the morning with somebody coming from the Y, and all I could hear was this motorcycle going up, and it was dead stop. The motorcycle engine killed, and it was a very serious accident right there.
Okay. Thank you very much, Roger. Sure.
Only for clarification purposes, and I just thought of this. I had the opportunity, as I had mentioned, to talk to Trevor and to John With regards to traffic flow on Wabanor Court, with regards to restricting traffic, you should be aware that the buses that bring in clients to the center actually do some staging up there. What will happen is they'll drop off clients at cerebral palsy, and then I assume what they do from a traffic flow is come through the parking lot over at the dental clinic up to Wabanor, go down the court, turn around, and park on that area between the court and Orchard Drive. Just so you're aware of that, because that was something that Trevor wasn't aware of and neither was John, which is not a problem. You know, they've been doing that ever since that we've been there, 25 years, and don't see it as a problem. Just something that you should be aware of.
Great. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this issue? Hearing none, we'll pick up the rule, or a motion to pick up the rules. Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Atwood. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Do I have a motion on this item?
We have a motion.
Who's the motion?
Green and Rich.
Okay. We have a motion and a second on this. Any discussion?
I guess I'll reinforce a lot of the comments that we heard here and try to be as reactive as we can on a temporary and or long-term basis based on what those needs are and how they may obviously get worse during the construction, and then maybe they get a little bit resolved afterward, but I just need to think we need to respond to all that.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up. I think it's a beautiful project. I'm looking forward to it. What I really like to hear are all the positive comments about CP being a great neighbor. That shows that as a community, we're doing well. We're working together. But you bring up excellent points, and like Trustee Genrick said, short-term and long-term. So what I would like to do is ask the Public Works Committee to take a look at the concerns that were brought up tonight at our next meeting, if we can get that on the agenda. And we'll discuss those at the Public Works Committee and make sure that we have a plan going forward. Okay?
I just add one thing to that.
Yes, Trustee Green.
Don't wait for us to make decisions if trucks start coming in and you need to help you. I just don't want us to hold it up because we only meet once a month.
When do you plan to break ground?
April 28th. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, yeah, you can start looking, if you guys would start looking at that now, Craig.
Because we have time for the coffee shop. This one's starting faster. Yeah.
Good point. Thank you for bringing that up. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Let's get the shovel out. Looking forward to it. Are you going to have a shovel ceremony?
We are. We'll extend invitations to all. We hope you can all come.
Please do. I'd love to be there. Okay. Item number 10, action regarding T-Mobile cell lease at Water Standpipe. I think we talked about this last time. And basically T-Mobile is asking us to accept a reduced rate for our monthly rent. And the new rent is $2,050, and I think it's $150 less than it was before. T-Mobile's trying to sell their business, and they said this will make it easier for them. As part of that, we will renew every 5 years with a 12% increase every 5 years. And if T-Mobile decides that they want out, they can give us $98,000 for that benefit. We also asked the last time to have an out on our own, and T-Mobile came back and said that doesn't work into their business plan. And I think we asked for a 90-day thing, and they said no.
That's okay.
That's okay?
Yeah. The 90-day notice.
Oh, the 90-day notice is okay.
The 90-day notice and the termination clause, they agreed to that. It's just the reverse termination by us that they wouldn't accept.
Okay. My first reaction would be, how about a year or something? But I think I saw Attorney Guest's comment that seems to be pretty common. But I just hate not having an out if something dramatic changes. But we're not in discussion. That's an explanation. So do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genrich.
I would make the motion to approve the new terminology in the lease agreement.
Do I have a second? I will second for discussion purposes. Discussion. Like I said, my main concern is that we don't have any kind of an out. Did we have an out before? We didn't have an out before.
I've actually looked at a couple of other standard cell companies, and they're all long-term. I mean, because of their investment in the infrastructure and their marketing plans and, you know, their future development as a business, they're typically long-term like this. They really don't give the municipality. And I think the 12%, you know, bump, you know, per term is pretty consistent with the industry. And I think the early buyout, if they terminate early, I think that's kind of unique. And I think that favors the village. So I think Craig did a nice job in negotiating that provision in there. But the early term, they actually make us a guaranteed payment. So I think that was a positive. But it does seem that those long terms and not giving the municipality an option to early terminate seem to be more typical than not.
We're probably not going to be moving the water tower anytime soon.
I wouldn't envision so.
And if so, the towers will go with.
With regard to the buyout, Randy, the way it's, I wanted to make sure I'm interpreting it the same way as everyone else. In a sense, is it a rolling 48 months? So whenever the out clause might be triggered, we are guaranteed 48 months worth, no matter where in that particular 5-year term we're at?
That's the case. Yeah.
Okay, that helps a little bit. I'm still not comfortable with the length, I understand. I don't know if it, you know, T-Mobile's not the only cell company. So what would happen if the agreement was not renewed? Do they remove all of their equipment from the top of the water tower? Or would they just sell it to someone else, and it's that company's investment? I don't know. I don't know what our options are. This is where it sometimes can get awkward trying to negotiate in public. I'm just putting up concerns that may, or, you know, may have some merit and may not.
If they do not renew the lease, then they remove their equipment. That's part of the agreement.
Okay.
If we don't go along with the changes in the agreement that is proposed by T-Mobile, the agreement that we now have stands, but we don't have that benefit clause if it's terminated. So that's really what we're gaining, is the buyout clause.
The $98,000. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that, and whether or not the lease would be terminated, you know, who knows? It's hard to say.
Well, and just as they have the right to come to us and say we would like a change at some point in time, if we had a change necessary, we can always ask for it. Okay. Any other thoughts?
Is all the equipment that's up on the tower now currently solely T-Mobile, or is there other companies up there as well?
No, we have three providers. We have AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile. Those are the three. And over the course of the last 10 years, it has changed a bit. We had Aerodyne, and they went out of business. And so we only had two cell companies for about 18 months or so. And then T-Mobile approached us and located a facility there. So that's our third.
And none of them have any covenants or restrictions as far as...
Contracts are essentially all the same. The only difference is some minor details, and the actual amount of rent varies a little bit. But in essence, the contracts are very similar. And in none of those do we have the option of requesting renegotiation or termination. And as Attorney Gass said, and the comments that they made to me were, you know, we invested $250,000 based on a 25-year contract. And if we couldn't have gotten a 25-year guarantee for a contract, then we wouldn't have built it. You know, that's kind of the approach that they take because they want to recover their investment. We did get on the higher end of what they can offer as far as the continuing rent. Their initial offer was less than half of where we're at right now. And we basically said that's not acceptable. You know, we're not even going to consider that. I wouldn't even take it to the village board. And so they said, well, let's cut right to the chase. We'll give you the best offer that we can. That's kind of where we ended up, where we are. And we did ask for some compensation in case they would terminate, and that's when they offered this buyout clause. You know, I guess they're trying to reduce their operating costs a little bit to make them more attractive, either for sale or profitability, but in exchange for reducing it, they're offering a buyout clause. And that seems like a pretty substantial offer, but, you know, will they continue their operations at this facility? You know, my guess is they would, and we wouldn't be faced with that situation, but who knows? And the other thing that I'll mention is we had quite a bit of discussion on this, and the biggest concern that they have and they expressed about the industry as a whole is that the technology is changing significantly. And they're going to lower cost, multi-located antennas. They're not building many large facilities anymore, at least in the metro areas. And so that's where some of their caution is in terms of the future leases. And Green Bay, in fact, has facilities going in by Mobilite, which are the single small towers located throughout the city. So we're starting to see those. Eventually, we'll see those coming into Alloway, I would imagine.
And how or who and when will we negotiate? Because those, in essence, are individual sticks that are put out of telephone poles, basically, that are bouncing signal from point to point. When and how would that be negotiated?
We have a few of the top of power pole antennas. We have a few of those. I think we have six of them. And we issued a permit for that. That was a couple of years ago. The new technology are the single towers. And you can see some of them out in the country at this point. They're 150 to 300 foot high towers, single strand towers. They go up in a matter of a few days. That's the kind of technology that they see coming forward in the future. If you notice, it's been in the paper a couple of times now in the last few days, the state is looking at drafting some new regulations to give local municipalities some control over those little individual towers that we would not have right now. So that could happen fairly soon. That's just some additional information from our discussions that came up.
On a side note, if Clarence was here, I'm sure he would bring it up in regards to the phone shanty out front there. Is there anything that's going to happen with that? I mean, not related to that. This is my last deal to be able to ask about it. So.
Well, the landscaping is done. The painting of the facility is done. Verizon contracted with us and paid us to put in a wall or a fence in front of those doors so you don't see the signs. So that will be going up shortly because the frost is coming out of the ground, so that will be done. And that will complete everything that we ask them to do in terms of modifications to the facility. If you look close at it, you'll see that everything is painted. We don't have any galvanized metal, bare pipe, unpainted wood, or anything like that. The only part of the structure that's not painted is the actual exhaust vent through the wall for their standby generator, because that's a heat shield, so that can't be painted. Other than that, everything is taken care of.
I know that Clarence's statement was in regards to the 17 stickers that were on the door and how they were somewhat of an eyesore at the time. I would also like to say, Mr. President, in regards to in the future when we should stay in contact with Representatives Cole and Stephan in regards to the Assembly Bill 130 and its status in regards to the individual designation of phone cell tower site placement, and to allow that our municipality have its voice heard in regards to those placements and how that current legislation is being modeled.
Good point.
Thank you. Any other discussion? We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Action item number 11, action regarding resolution 2017-09, adoption of the comprehensive bicycle and pedestrian plan. We approved the plan at our last meeting, and this is approving the resolution, which is the official document that basically thanks everyone for their hard work and acknowledges that this is a template or a guideline for us going forward. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genrich.
I'll move to approve the resolution 2017-09 adoption of the Village of Alloway Comprehensive Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Trustee Harris. Any discussion? Once again, there's a request from the floor to speak. Do I have a motion to suspend the rules? Trustee Green. Seconded by Trustee Genrich. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Chumo Road, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I was the former co-chair of the Bike Ped Committee, and prior to that, I was on the Alloway Walks and Bikes Committee that had been around for a number of years that was started by Becky. One of the important things that it was overlooked in the report was that anytime the village does a planned development district, it's required by state law that we make pedestrian accommodations. Pedestrian accommodations are very important to the handicapped, to the elderly, and as we get a little bit older, we have more people who are going to be walking, and they're going to be walking with the walkers and in wheelchairs. So we need to make sure that the pedestrian accommodations are included in all future planned development districts, specifically the Bishop's or the Old Chapel Hill apartment complex. Those pedestrian accommodations were removed by an alternate committee, and so there was no budget in place in the next 5 to 10 years to put a sidewalk in on West St. Joseph Street. And now that we have excess money coming in from the stadium tax refund that the DOT we had allocated for a crossing on the south end of town, now that the DOT will reimburse us for that, I'd like to see that money used to put in the sidewalk that was overlooked and somehow get access down to the Fox River Trail over, hopefully along Riverside Drive down to St. Francis Park. That shelter that's down there. So now that we have extra money that we found, because the DOT is going to pick up our portion of the expense, we can now fix one of the problems that happened, and that was the overlooking of the state requirement that we make accommodations for pedestrians and the handicapped, and we should put it in there. So I'm asking that you look at that, and that was something that was overlooked as part of our bike ped plan. Thanks.
Jim, would you do me a favor?
Yes.
Could you point me to the state law that requires
that
us to...
Would be,
just tell me what's...
That would be Randy's...
No, that's yours. You're suggesting it's law. Would you tell us what law it is?
If you look at the letter I got from Trevor on December 13th of 2016, he states it clearly in there. He cites the law. It's highlighted in the email that Trevor sent me. So... Debbie, if you could forward
no,
to
no,
Jim.
No, you're the one. Everyone else is saying it's not the law. So if you're saying it's the law, I invite you to bring it to us. Then send it to me. That's all. Just send it to me.
I prefer it to come through.
Well, no, I don't. I prefer it to come from you. I'm not going to spend the attorney's money to do that. Thank you. Thank you for comments. We'll have a motion pick up the rules.
So moved.
Second. Seconded by Trustee Atwood. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passes. Thank you. We have a motion and a second on this. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Thank you once again to the hard work for the Bike and Ped Committee and staff. Item number 13, we'll take items 13A through D, unless there's an issue. It's on the back of the agenda that was not copied.
I move to approve.
I'll read D for you. Okay. It's also the approval of accounts payable dated 3-3, 3-10, 3-17, and 3-22. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Genring.
I would move to approve.
Seconded by Trustee Green. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. And before I accept the motion to adjourn, as was just brought to our attention, this evening is Trustee Dennis's last day on the Village Board. He's served this village proudly for the last 3 years as Village Trustee. And I, for one, would like to thank you very much for the hard work and dedication to the village.
Thank you. I have really enjoyed being here these last 3 years. Each person who is on this board brings a tremendous dynamic to this board and has allowed us to progress to the point of where we are today. Some people would say that's not necessarily good. I would counter that and say it's wonderful. I know that each person, Matthew, you bring the ability to look at the logistics and the mathematical sides of things that we don't oftentimes see. Jim, you have come here and represented some of the views of the older portion. I don't mean age-wise, but I mean those people who love the historical portion the historical portion of our community, and I greatly appreciate it. Rob, you have brought an understanding of the interests of the individual small businessman to the table and the ability to be able to see things that oftentimes we don't see. Debbie is the keeper of the secrets. If there was ever a consigliere of the mafia or an alloway, it would be Debbie. She knows everything and has said nothing.
I don't know if that's good.
Jim is our new Village Board President. I greatly appreciate everything that he has done and the dynamic that he has brought. Nobody has worked harder than he has to bring all the elements together to make sure that they are functional and that they are progressive as well as being historically accurate. Penny, who is not here this evening, I cannot say enough about what she has brought to our community and her thoughts and ideas and her passions and her very dry sense of humor in regards to the things that are put before us and her ability to sometimes see the things that we don't see. Lynn, you bring to the board an advocacy on behalf of the people of the Village of Alloway as far as the individuals and to the businesses in a way that is refreshing and enlightening. And I have to say that this has been absolutely a wonderful time that I've spent on this board. And at some point in time in the future, the possibility may arise again that I would seek to be a part of it. And I would hope that I would be welcomed at that time. As to whoever will sit here after me, I have no endorsement one way or the other. I don't believe that endorsements would mean that much at all. And mine would not mean anything at all. I would like to thank everybody who has attended these meetings, listened to me dribble on and go on the way I have and I continue to do tonight. And to all of the members of the staff, I greatly appreciate everything you've done. I appreciate your tolerance more than anything else because I know that I can be a major pain in the tush, but you have always been able to come back and to say to me the things that I have asked questions about, and I believe that it is one of the best staffs in the entire state when it comes to getting the work done and knowing where our vision is and working in combination with all members of the community to get us to where we want to be. And with that, I will say thank you.
Thank you very much. I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Trustee Dennis. Seconded by Trustee Dennis. Seconded by Trustee Genrich. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. I thank you very much.